salt to tears.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for tuning into the Refresh radio program right here on WMIE 91.5 FM, today's Modern Worship. My name's Bob Arthurs. We're going to spend the next half hour with you right here on the Refresh radio program talking about the spiritual truths from God's Word. And today we're going to be in Luke chapter 21. Luke chapter 21. So if you want to be turning over there, I want to take this opportunity to invite you out to our services this Sunday morning. We won't be having a Sunday night service this week. We are celebrating our 70th anniversary. Actually, I believe, if I remember correctly, today is the actual 70th anniversary of when the church was started. I believe it was June 8th. It was either June 8th or June 9th. I believe it's June 8th. 1952. That was a day or two ago. I wasn't around for that one, but I have been around. This is 70. I have been here for 29 of these anniversary services. December will mark 30 years for me at the church. And so we're going to have a celebration there as well. But we are honored to have with us Malcolm Burley, that is from Springfield, Missouri. He coordinates all of the missions endeavors that the Assemblies of God has throughout the United States. We have a World Missions Department. We have a U.S. Missions Department. And I've known Malcolm for a long, long time, and privileged to serve him. And just about every time I've ever talked to him, he's always asked about my wife's family, because he was on staff at the church where my wife's family attended before we got married. And, you know, that's a pretty good memory. That's a pretty good memory. And so if you are available to come out and join us with our celebration, because our congregation does not just exist or consist of the number of people that show up inside our walls on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. We consider you part of our congregation. I'm of the mindset that there's one church in the community and there are many congregations. And we are privileged that we are not of the mindset, let's put it this way, that only the people that go to Merritt Assembly of God or one of the other Assemblies of God churches are who's going to heaven. We believe that there are a lot of Bible-believing, Jesus-serving, Jesus-honoring saints in the community, and we're just privileged to know a few of them. But if you've ever wanted to attend one of our services, I'd like to invite you out. You hear me on the radio all the time, but you will not hear Malcolm Burley at our services unless you're there this coming Sunday morning at 10:30. So we would like to take this opportunity to invite you out to that wonderful service. We also would like to say thank you to the folks at Weirich Air, WEIRICH Air. They're based right here in Rockledge, Florida, and they have been professionally providing sales, services, and repairs in air conditioning. Can I get a thank you, Jesus, for people who help us with air conditioning? Heating, yeah, we don't need that as much right now. Electrical problems, those can crop up from time to time. And they've been doing this for over 40 years. So, I mean, you can tell Merritt Assembly of God, Weirich Air, we're both fly by night. I mean, the one's been around for between 40 and 50 years. The other one's been around for 70. I don't know if I think at this point in time we may make it. Let's put it that way. They work in residential settings, light commercial settings, and will even provide emergency service when necessary. And they work to provide you, not just others, but you, with the best service possible at an affordable price. So write this number down before you find yourself in an air conditioning crisis. Write this number down, 321-632-9538. So when your air conditioner breaks down, you have a faithful and reliable brother in Christ that you can call, and he will send his team out, 321-632-9538. They do great work, and they're friends of mine, take good care of you, and so give them a call, 321-632-9538. Today we are going to Luke chapter 21. We are talking about things that are spiritual truth, and we're supposed to be seeking truth. Wouldn't that be a novel concept in 2022, that there was a people who were seeking the truth of God? But that's what we're talking about, and so we're looking at statements where Jesus would say, truly, truly, according to one translation, verily, verily, in other translations, assuredly, in other translations. In other words, he says, pay attention to this. This is important. Okay, not that there's anything that God says that isn't important, but these specifically he draws attention to. So in Luke chapter 21, and I noticed the time frame of this. This is something that Jesus talks about one chapter before he celebrates the Passover with his disciples, and then he goes to the cross. There's a lot of things. Have you ever thought about what you would do, what you would highlight if you knew that you were just a few days away from taking your final breath? Well, this is what Jesus says in Luke chapter 21. It's also recorded in Mark chapter 12, in verse number 41 there. But here in Luke 21, it says, and he, Jesus, looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury, and he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all. For all these, out of their abundance, have put in offerings for God, but she, out of her poverty, put in all the livelihood that she had. Now, I will tell you this, that you and I are not supposed to compare ourselves to one another. If you're going to compare me against some people, they're going to have larger congregations. If you compare me against other people, you will find that some of them are taller than I am, and some of them are shorter than I am. If you compare me against other pastors, you're going to find some that are younger and some that are older. If you compare us by a lot of different categories, we end up going into an unwise condition in that we are comparing ourselves. One of the things that surprised me when I looked at this passage was Jesus is not criticizing anybody in this passage. You know, you've always heard about the widow who gave two mites and always commended, but many times we examine that and we think that he's criticizing other people, but that's not the case at all. And so I've got some things and that I'll point out to you as we go through this passage. So it says here in verse number 3, truly I say to you, this poor widow has put in more than all. Not from a monetary standpoint, but from a commitment standpoint. And when it comes to giving, I'm not so hung up on, you know, what people give as much as they realize that they are giving it in honor. That the Old Testament, one of the Bibles that I have, when it talks about giving to God, it talks about giving irrevocably over to the Lord. That there's no take backs. There's not a control string. A lot of people like to control their giving. Rich people a lot of times will give. If the government gives you anything, there are generally strings that are attached to that, and you've got to jump through. And then, and so that's one of the reasons why we don't participate in programs where government strings come along, because we want God to be the one that is in control and not anyone else. So the first point that I want to share with you from Genesis or Luke 21 verses 1 through 4 is that Jesus sees our giving. One time I was teaching how that our modern giving looks a lot different than it did back in biblical times. You know, now you have people who give online. You have people that mail in donations. So you have electronic giving. And if you're in the church, a lot of times there are ushers, and there are bags or containers of some sort that they pass down the aisle, and nobody really sees how you are giving. It is, we come to people in order to facilitate their ability to give. But in Jesus' time, there was a central collection point, and the people who wanted to give, they had to go to that collection point. And there were people who would make a big show about their giving, but there were that was not necessarily everybody who did that. The truth of the matter is this: Jesus knows, Jesus sees how you give. And so it is not about you, it is very much about God, and it is about honoring God. So we tell our congregation, look, we've had people through the years that have thought that if they quit giving to the church, that the church was just going to collapse in on itself, that it was going to wither up and it was going to blow away. And so they thought that they could control the church by their giving. I've had millionaires that were in my church. But you know what they weren't? They weren't extravagant givers. In fact, some of them were threatening givers. If you don't do what I tell you to, then I'm just gonna quit giving. And I was like, okay, that's not a biblical attitude. So I'm not gonna put a lot of stock in you, because you're gonna go away at some point in time, because not even the largest tithers of the church have ever wielded control over the purse strings of Merit Assembly of God. God blesses us beyond our natural resources. He blesses us supernaturally. So Jesus sees your giving. He wants to know that you are honoring him, that you're honoring him with your first fruits, that you are giving because you are honoring him. In one of these verses here, my Luke chapter 21 falls on two different pages in these first four verses. Here in verse number 4, it says that these have given out of their abundance, have put in their offerings for God. So it didn't matter whether they were rich or poor, they were doing it for God. Jesus sees your giving. The second thing that I wanted to share with you is that Jesus knows our real condition. There are many people who try to put on a mask, who try to put on a facade when they come to church or when they give. And Jesus knows the reality. He knows whether you are rich or you are poor. And it says, he looked up and he saw the rich. Now, the way that is worded indicates that there was more than one rich person that was there. And he knew the condition of each and every one of them. And it said, he saw them put their gifts into the treasury. And it says, he also saw a certain poor widow putting in two mites. He knew the size of her gift. He knew the condition that she was living in. Listen, in those days, not having a husband or a father to provide for you, or children to provide for you, put you in a horrible economic situation, but not so bad that this lady would not give. She was a lavish giver when it came to honoring God. She says, you know, I've literally had people that tell me this. I've had pastors tell me this. The pastors would say like this, we can't afford to give to missions. Now, I want you to know, we've been giving to missions, not extravagantly whenever I first came, because I didn't have the revelation at that point in time that I got in 1996, late 1996. I didn't get that revelation until 96 or early 97. But I tell pastors who don't give to missions, you can't afford not to give to missions. God is in the redemption business. He doesn't need our money. He desires our worship. He desires for us to honor him, to be faithful with what belongs to him as a steward. We'll talk about that more in an upcoming broadcast. But you and I, we're stewards. We're not owners. You know, I asked a person one time, said, do you own your house? They said, yes, me and the bank. I'd tell you that you could throw in another thing in there. You could throw you, the bank, and the county, because every year you've got property taxes that you pay on that. I won't share my opinion on that. we as individuals pay property taxes. If you wanted to throw a fourth thing in there, it's this. I need to demote myself as an owner and elevate God as an owner, because he owns everything there is about me. I entered into a covenant relationship where all of my failures he absorbed into his kingdom, but he also absorbed all of my assets and all of my successes. Anything that I've done merit-worthy, all the glory belongs to him. I'm just a steward of the resources that God has given. So Jesus knows your condition. He knows if you're rich, he knows if you're poor, and he knows how you give. He sees your giving, he knows your real condition. Okay? The third thing is, Jesus knows us individually. So for this woman, he saw her as an individual, not just as a part of the group. And I want you to understand that even though we do not get her name, the act of her giving on that particular day has been elevated to an eternal memory. She became an example, a good example of how we are supposed to approach giving. Everything you have belongs to God. It said that she only put in two mites, which would, you know, a lot of times people, I've heard people that have made decisions on the economic impact of it. Two mites was not going to make a huge difference in the balance sheet of the temple treasury. But God said, I applaud her. I celebrate that she gave everything. So he knows us individually. And so he sees your giving. He knows the conditions that you're dealing with, the challenges you're dealing with. And he knows you individually. And he knows the reason for your giving. He knows if you're giving out of your abundance, or as it says about this woman, that she gave out of her poverty. She put in all the livelihood that she had. Now, the good news about being a conduit for God is that when you're completely empty, you can be completely filled. And Robert Morris He pastors Gateway Church in Texas, are primarily where most of the congregations are. And we were watching a video of his, and he talked about how on two or three occasions in their life, God's challenged them to give away everything. Gave away their house, their cars, their retirement accounts, everything. And God just blessed them to an even greater degree. And so there are a lot of people that have the mindset, well, I'm going to give to get. I want to challenge you. I want to give to honor. I want to give in obedience. When it comes to giving, there are a lot of people who say, well, I don't believe in tithing. Okay. This is what they say. I don't believe in tithing. I believe tithing is an Old Testament principle, not a New Testament principle, even though you can find tithing commended by Jesus in the New Testament and other teachable moments and referred to as first fruits. Tithe simply means one-tenth. And then, you know, I was at district council here not too long ago, and someone brought up, well, you know, if you're giving and you're saying, you know, do I tithe on my net or my gross? You know, that's, you know, I'm not going to split hairs on that. I'm going to leave that up to the saint and the one who saves them and say, how does God lay it upon your heart? I know people that do both ways. I'm not here to judge either one of them. I say, get into the presence of God, find out what he wants you to do. I know what I do. I'm so obsessed with making sure that it's the first fruits that I write my tithe check before my paycheck ever hits. But that way I get it before, or God gets the tithe before the federal government gets their cut. Jesus knows the reason that you give, whether you're giving out of your abundance. And it says there the rich gave for God. That's why I say it's not a critical moment. It is a commendable moment for this woman. She gave out of her poverty and she gave everything that she had. I have taken jobs where I took a pay cut, not a pay increase, because that's what God laid up on my heart to do. Find out what God wants. And Jesus knows the reason that we've given. He knows our relational condition. Okay? So this woman had no other source naturally. But I want to tell you what I know about God. She had a supernatural source that she had heard from the scriptures that there was someone who had been young and they had been old and they had never seen the righteous forsaken nor his seed begging bread. And she knew that even though she did not have the husband or the son or the children that would be able to take care of her, she had a heavenly father who had put it in writing in the old covenant, in the Old Testament, that said, I will take care of you. Can I just bring a little bit of peace into your life during, you know, probably some of the worst financial conditions America has seen in the past few decades as far as inflation goes? God's God in the good financial times, and God is God during difficult financial seasons. I have served God and seen him faithful when my total household income didn't hit $15,000, and that was with my wife and I both working full-time. I've spent more of my life not making a significant amount of money and wondering how God was going to show himself this time faithful. I've spent more of my time on that end of the economic scale than finding myself where I've got more blessing at the end of the month than I had month. That I had a lot of times where there was more month than money. So God God was praising this woman, and I'm going to borrow this word. The first time I remember hearing about this was a book of about worship by Darlene Check, and she wrote a book, and it talked about worshiping God extravagantly. And this woman, right before Jesus goes to the cross, just like the woman who had broken the alabaster box that was worth a year's wages, it was probably her nest egg. And she said, I'm not selling it. I'm going to lavish it upon Jesus. And she worshiped him and gave extravagantly. This widow woman took, for our currency's sake, I'm going to use this. She put in 2 pennies. I think it was actually worth less than that. But she said, here's my 2 cents. It's all I've got. And God is worthy of it all. Man looks at it and isn't impressed. But when you say, God, everything I have, all my heart, all my soul, all my mind, all my strength, all my energy, all my finances, everything I own, it all belongs to you. And this is what I've got. I give it to you. And a few days later, the Savior she worshiped extravagantly went to the cross and gave his life and shed his blood so that sins could be forgiven. I want you to know that Jesus, on his way to the cross, took time to commend a woman. And then he said, you know, now watch what I can do with that. I guarantee you, when I get to heaven, when you get to heaven, there may be a little bit of a moment of regret. But in my life, my regrets have never come from the things I did for Jesus. And they've never come from the things I've given to Jesus. My regrets are the times that I missed doing something in obedience and the offerings that I didn't make that God wanted me to make. I don't want you to live with those regrets, and I don't want to live with any more of them in the future than I have to. Amen? And I'm glad God forgives us and teaches us those wonderful teaching opportunities and says, okay, that's forgiven. Let's move on, and let's do better next time. Amen? Hopefully we'll see you at church this Sunday, 10:30 of a morning. We would love to have you come and celebrate 70 years of Merit Assembly of God being a blessing to Brevard County and around the world. God bless you. We'll see you tomorrow right here on Refresh.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merit Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember Proverbs 11:25, "He who refreshes others will himself be refreshed."